Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It's Super Bowl week, and we can all get used to this. Patrick Mahomes has won every MVP award you can. He's won more playoff games than anyone in team history, and he's on a 25-1 hot streak. But now, one analyst says Super Bowl 55 is the biggest game Patrick Mahomes will ever play. Like, ever. We'll explain why he thinks that and let you be the judge. Tom Brady has taken a whopping 260 different teammates to a Super Bowl. That's astounding. And this year may be his best work ever, as the Bucs didn't really find any consistency until late in the year. This is an epic showdown this time that feels way different than playing the 49ers last year. KU had a really bad night against Tennessee, and some projections now have them as a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. What's wrong with KU, and how did they get here? We'll discuss it. There is good news. KU gets K-State next. The Wildcats are historically awful. AD Gene Taylor has given Bruce Weber the vote of confidence, but get this. Since winning the Big 12 2 years ago, Bruce Weber is 4-23 in league play. Wow. And somehow, some way, we only had 23 cases of the flu in the United States last week. It's normally about 15,000 per week this time of year. What the heck is going on with the CDC? All ahead on KKHI. Brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick, GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers say, we just make it easy at Roberts Robinson. And they do. Whether you want to shop online at robertsrobinson.com or visit the showroom in Excelsior Springs, you're going to get courteous professional treatment. These folks are pros. And there's a lot of integrity in the way they do business. They want you to feel comfortable, and they want to get it right every single time. They'll work very hard to do that. Mike and his team make sure of that. They've got some great incentives right now on Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, the awesome SUVs from Buick, and, of course, the great truck line that they have. He dropped off last week a Sierra Denali for me, and I'm driving this truck, and it is so cool. I think the neatest feature that it does two things that I have never had in a car before. It puts the speed up on the glass of my windshield. It projects it up there. It's pretty cool. And the rearview mirror has a function that is a camera. Instead of seeing a reflection of what's behind you, it's just the camera in the mirror of everything behind you. It's fantastic. There's some really cool options in this Sierra Denali. You should check them out at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. GMC, we are professional grade. Elite Energy is part of Elite Automation. Elite Automation comes out with equipment and technology to look up in your building where you're spending most of your money. Whether it's HVAC equipment, machinery that you may have, lighting, plug-in items, they then consult with you and recommend how often to run the big ticket items. They charge nothing for this service. This is a consulting service. When they save you money, they get a percentage of what you save. That's it. There's no cost to you. Seriously, if you own or operate a building or are in charge, if you're in management of a bigger building, go to eliteautomate.com for more information and find out how, by spending nothing, you can save a pile. And bstock.net, online at bstock.net, are now the outlet store in Olathe, the former Toys R Us building at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. And my guys at Bstock have you all hooked up for the big game this week. The 85-inch 60T Samsung television, $17.99 with free delivery. It's regularly $24.99 at Best Buy. If it goes on sale, it would go down to about $2,200. $17.99 and free delivery this week at bstock.net. Check them out on Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. It's bstock.net for the big game. Okay, it's here, Super Bowl week. Let's do it on KKHI. Hit it.
Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
Well, it is Super Bowl week, and I'm going to guess this never gets old for any of us. Takes some getting used to. It's a little hard to believe at times that the Chiefs are this good and this consistent over such a long period of time, and here we find ourselves again in another Super Bowl week. And everywhere I went over the weekend, everybody is talking about this game. And, of course, the matchup of two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And, yes, I'm going to put Patrick Mahomes in the Hall of Fame already, based on what he's done. He's a Hall of Famer in his career. This one just feels different than last year. And it's simply Tom Brady. It's not really the Buccaneers. I don't know that you would necessarily, you know, this isn't the Dallas Cowboys or some epically great Giants or Cowboys team from the NFC or something like that. It's the Tampa Bay Bucks, so it isn't really the team that leads to this different intensity and different feel this year than a year ago. If Tom Brady wasn't quarterbacking Tampa and Jimmy Garoppolo was, it would feel an awful lot like last year when the Chiefs were playing the 49ers, and that was fun. And it was the first time back in 50 years for the Chiefs to be in the Super Bowl and all those great things. But it was the San Francisco 49ers, and even as the Chiefs were winning that game and after winning it, you didn't feel like the Chiefs really climbed some mountain by beating the opponent that they beat, all right? San Francisco was just a team that got to the Super Bowl. That's just kind of the way I saw the Niners last year. This Bucs team is hot. They're on a really nice stretch of wins, and Tom Brady is the man. He's the greatest of all time, and the fact that it is Tom Brady creates sort of a peak, a summit to climb and check a box. In fact, this week, Tony Romo, the analyst for CBS Sports, has said this is the biggest game Patrick Mahomes will ever play in his life. And initially, that sounds like hyperbole, and you start to think about it. You go, okay, what's at stake here? Well, what's at stake is a lot of people are saying they believe Patrick Mahomes can match the 6 Super Bowl wins that Tom Brady has, that Mahomes can do that. But the math becomes very tricky if he doesn't win this one, because not only does he win a second one by winning this game, he keeps Brady from getting a 7th Super Bowl by winning this game. And I think that's right. Danny Klinkscale brought this up on the Patron podcast last week, Between the Lines 2.0. And thanks to everyone who signed up for the Patron program that gets those podcasts on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He brought this up, and I hadn't even thought of it. I hadn't thought of it in those terms. Is, wow, what's on the line here for Patrick Mahomes if he wants to become considered the greatest quarterback of all time? You got to beat Brady's numbers. Now, he'll do that statistically, I think. Tom Brady throws for a lot more yards and a lot more touchdowns later in his career than he did early in his career. Early in his career, they were more of a defensive team, and they were winning lower scoring games, and he didn't rack up the crazy numbers that Patrick Mahomes is racking up at a very young age. So I think statistically, it's all well within reach for Mahomes, assuming he plays until he's 40 years old, which I think he will, maybe longer. There's a lot of quarterbacks doing this now. It's not uncommon at all. So I think he's going to be able to check a lot of those boxes, but the actual championships, the greatness, the Super Bowl titles, very difficult to win 6 Super Bowls. And, you know, when I ask people now, how many do you think the Chiefs will win, that Patrick Mahomes will win as the Chiefs quarterback, most people say they will be disappointed if the Chiefs don't win 3 Super Bowls in this era. And maybe it's a lot about his weapons, and there have been some other people pop up around the country and say, look, a pretty average quarterback could win a lot of games in Kansas City with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. That may be true, but there's good receivers on every team. It is the quarterback. Alex Smith went, 13-3 one year. Alex Smith had the number one quarterback rating in the NFL with these guys and this offense. And Alex Smith is an above-average quarterback. He's not great, but he's above average. And his final season here, he was the number one. His quarterback rating was higher than anyone else in the league because, yes, he was in this system with these players. So certainly Mahomes benefits from that. And maybe somewhere in the future, Mahomes doesn't have these kind of weapons, and he doesn't have Andy Reid coaching him. At some point, Andy Reid will no longer be Patrick Mahomes' coach, and things can certainly change. But this Super Bowl week just feels so different than last year. Part of it's COVID. There's no big hype. The Chiefs aren't going down to Tampa this week. I think it's an advantage to stay home. They're all commenting that they like the routine that they're in. They like the Arrowhead facility. They like practicing at home. It feels very routine. It feels like a playoff week. I was talking with some friends yesterday, and I said, I'd be willing to bet that each day that you're at the Super Bowl site, for the key personnel, for Andy Reid, a couple of key coaches, Patrick Mahomes, some people like that, there are 3 hours per day of commitments, of things that you have to do every single day that they don't have to do this week at home. And I don't care, and I know coaches are crazy at times about, oh, we got to stay on this schedule and we don't have time to do this and every second of every day and all that. But I don't care what you do for a living or who you are. If you lose 3 hours out of your day, you're less productive, period. And when you go to the Super Bowl site and you have this week-long buildup and there's all these bus rides and all this different stuff that you don't do when you're at home, and you're going off to news conferences and photo shoots and events for the NFL and sponsors and all this other stuff, it is not the same. And it does take away from a lot of the really important work. The Chiefs are benefiting from this by being able to stay home. This was going to be a tough deal. If this had been a sold-out stadium, the first game ever where the home team, where a team was playing in their home stadium, this could have been much worse for the Chiefs. So they're catching some breaks here. They get to stay at home. They get to play in a mostly empty stadium, so crowd noise will not be a huge factor. We know there's a lot of corporate-type people that get into Super Bowls, so they may or may not. I think it'll probably be close to 50-50. I think there's going to be some Chiefs fans in there. I think a lot of people who maybe just want to go to the Super Bowl or get in corporate-wise or whatever through their company, and they're in there. A lot of people don't like Tom Brady. They don't like him because he cheated. They don't like him because he's won for too long. There's a lot of Brady fatigue out there, and a lot of people have attached to the Kansas City Chiefs and said, we love the way they play football. We love Patrick Mahomes. So I think the crowd will be close to 50-50. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. By staying home and doing media here, he's done some podcasts and everything like that. Of course, you get some of the same things that you would get hyping a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes recently has been talking about the land he's purchased in Kansas. He's got a huge plot of land. He's building a massive house that's going to have some golf holes and half of a football field and basketball courts and all this stuff. So that's, you know, the Super Bowl is always the time that we get stories like that. And he's been talking about those things, and it's kind of fun. But this is a guy that's really young. He's won every MVP possible, right? He's won the Pro Bowl, the regular season, and the Super Bowl MVPs. Did you know Patrick Mahomes has the most playoff wins in Chiefs history? I'm not an expert on the history of when the Chiefs were good in the 60s and 70s, but that's pretty remarkable that he now has more playoff wins than anyone. So it's a really talented frontline Kansas City Chiefs team against a Tampa team with a quarterback that's the greatest of all time that's very deep. They don't really have weaknesses on their team. Their strength of their defense is their linebackers and their pass rush. They're going to try to rush four, drop the linebackers in coverage, and disrupt the Chiefs. It didn't work very well when these teams played in Week 12. Tyreek Hill famously had, 200 yards in the first quarter in that game? Finished with, 270. They made some adjustments. They slowed him down. But still, after that first quarter, he had 70 more yards receiving. That's a pretty good day for most anyone in the NFL. The Chiefs pretty much went up and down the field. They stopped themselves a couple of times, scoring only 27 in that game. They should have scored more. The Chiefs have been on some really incredible run right now, as we know. I did see a stat that I didn't like. I've been trying to build everybody up that Eric Fisher being out is not the end of the world. I just don't want people freaked out that Eric Fisher isn't playing. But I saw this gem. The Chiefs are 27-1 with Eric Fisher starting. And in six games he's missed, they're 3-3. That could be random. It could be a really big thing. I'll repeat that again. In games that Eric Fisher starts with Mahomes as quarterback, 27-1. In games that he's missed, 3-3. That's a sample size. That's legit. In the first game this year, Patrick Mahomes completed 37 passes in the game against the Bucs. That's the most he's ever completed in a game in his career. So there's a lot going on here, and there is a lot on the line for Patrick Mahomes and his legacy, and if he wants to win more Super Bowls or as many Super Bowls as Tom Brady, this becomes a very, very big game, and I hadn't really thought about it in those terms, but Danny brought that up last week, and now Tony Romo, just ratchet up the pressure. Why not? Tony Romo's just out there saying, no big deal. This is just the biggest game he will ever play in his entire life. That may be true. I think it's a little early in your career to say that. And if let's say he wins this game, and 10 or 12 years from now we're talking about winning a sixth Super Bowl to tie Brady, people will say that's the biggest game of his career. I don't know. I just want the Chiefs to win. I want them to get another Super Bowl. I want this to become habit. I think it's great for our city. Everybody's enjoying it. There are some negatives to this. We'll get into that in a moment. In college basketball, I think, is the negative result of the Chiefs being so good. And in some way, the Royals, I mean, we're hearing now that Major League Baseball wants to delay the start of the season until the end of April. And I don't know too many people that are out there talking much about the Royals right now. Normally, spring training is getting ready to start, and there's the anticipation of a season. And everything is just secondary to the Chiefs. It doesn't seem like it matters. The college basketball has been really hard for me to get into this year. And maybe it's because Kansas is down and they're not very good. We'll talk about them more in a moment. But the Chiefs just dominate everything in our area. They've just taken complete control and dominate everything. And I think we all love it. I've said it many times. They're not just good. They're absolutely the most entertaining sports franchise on earth. We're lucky. We don't just have a team that wins. Okay, a lot of teams through the years have won, and it was kind of boring to watch. Great defensive teams. They'd go win a Super Bowl 16-13. Now, the Chiefs are just entertaining as all get out. They're so much fun to watch. And yesterday, Sunday, felt kind of empty without a football game. It's the hardest Sunday of the year for me because we have all these games all year, and then you have the week where there's none. Heck, I would have watched. I commented to some friends. I said, I would have been happy to watch Jacksonville play Carolina yesterday. You know, or Jacksonville and the Jets. I don't care. Just line up a couple of crappy teams and play. I would have loved to have had some football, but no such luck. We have football this week. It is Super Bowl 55, and I am very, very stoked. We're going to have Kevin Harlan on this week to talk about Super Bowl 55. He'll be calling it on national radio, as he does each and every year. It's always fun to talk football with Kev. And we're lining up some other good guests this week for Super Bowl week at Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. One other football note, Matthew Stafford is apparently being traded from the Lions to the Rams. This is a good move for Stafford. He's a nice player. I think he's been overrated much of his career, but he's also been with a really bad organization and a bad team. If I were, and I said this about Deshaun Watson, if I were Deshaun Watson, I not only would want out of Houston, I'd want to go to the NFC. And the gem job is the Rams. They've got a killer defense, a really good young coach. It's Los Angeles. There's a lot of things to like about joining the Rams. They look like they have a good thing going there, but they don't quite have the quarterback. Stafford will be an upgrade over Goff, who gets traded to Detroit, and a whole bunch of other draft picks. Apparently half the league tried to get a trade for Matt Stafford, and now we've got reports that the Rams actually tried to trade for Aaron Rodgers first. I can't imagine what they were willing to offer to the Packers to get Aaron Rodgers. So they tried, but they get Matt Stafford and kind of rock the NFL or the football world this weekend that that's taking place. We'll see what happens in Houston with Deshaun Watson as their quarterback carousel is taking place in the NFL. The B-2 stealth bomber from Whiteman Air Force Base is going to be doing the flyover for the anthem at the Super Bowl on Sunday with two other Air Force jets. They're going to have what they're calling a trifecta formation, a three-jet formation. It's never been done quite like this. Whatever it is they're doing, I think they've never had three jets this big. I think that's ultimately what we're talking about. We've seen the Blue Angels or the fighter jets fly in formation. I don't know that they've had three planes this big do a flyover. And they'll be doing it for Super Bowl 55. And you better believe those guys in that B-2 stealth are Chiefs fans from Whiteman Air Force Base. And we shout out to everybody there at the base. I've been there. I've seen the stealth. We're honored to work with the Chiefs a few years back and do some events there and some speaking engagements with some of the folks in the Air Force. That's a really neat place and really great folks at Whiteman Air Force Base. So good luck with the flyover at Super Bowl 55 on Sunday. College basketball, the Kansas Jayhawks just flat were not competitive against Tennessee in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. It's disappointing. I don't know where Kansas is headed. They got some really bad news on Friday. The bad news they got on Friday was from a judge in a circuit court. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals wrote an opinion on a case there about Jim Gatto, the Adidas exec, that he wrote from the evidence that was presented in that court to the judge. He wrote that not naming Curtis Townsend, a Kansas assistant, but Curtis Townsend's lawyers have responded to this report. He wrote that Curtis Townsend, this is unreported until now, had money believed to be headed to Zion Williamson to recruit him to get to Kansas. He wanted to bring his brother on the recruiting visit and, you know, they needed travel money and all this other stuff. That he had money, that Townsend had money, wanted to give it to Jim Gatto, the Adidas exec, so the Adidas exec could funnel it in a way that Kansas, it wouldn't look like Kansas did anything wrong. It's going to go to the high school or AAU team, and then Zion and his brother or whatever are going to get this money, and they're going to come visit Kansas, and the rest, as we know, is history. So it's all right there, and it's particularly bad-looking because this is an assistant coach that has cash in hand that he's going to give to an executive to funnel to a kid for illegal recruiting of Zion Williamson, who eventually went to Duke. And I've said many times over this case that we've seen the comments that Curtis Townsend and Bill Self made via text and in conversations, that we just got to find a way. We got to get it done like Duke and Carolina do it. We got to find a way. So they were willing to do, quote, whatever it takes to get Zion to Kansas. And they still didn't get him there. So I don't know what they gave him, but he stiffed them and went to Duke. And I don't know everything that they did for Zion, but he still didn't come to KU. And that's probably the way it works. But all roads, when you've got an involvement of Curtis Townsend doing this, all roads lead right to Bill Self's desk. They just do. And it does not matter anymore in the NCAA. If you can't prove that Bill Self did it, and you theoretically, Curtis Townsend could have been doing this on his own, and Bill Self didn't know about it, which is what all the head coaches always say. It's complete BS. They absolutely know. Coaches know everything that's going on in their program. And it doesn't hold water with me, and it's not going to hold water with the NCAA, because they have new policies that if the head coach didn't know, the head coach should have known. And I think Bill Self's going to be in real trouble on this thing. I think it's coming this summer. We're still a few months away, but I would not be surprised if this is his last season at Kansas. And I asked the question of a buddy this weekend. There's two questions around this. If Kansas gets hit with, let's say, 2 years or 3 years postseason ban, all right, and Bill Self gets hit with the show cause penalty or something, there's only two questions to ask. One is, why would Bill Self stay? And two, why would Kansas want him to stay? Can they get a lesser penalty if Bill Self isn't there, if he gets the 3 years, no tournament or something like that, and not the school? Which is the way the NCAA wants to direct this stuff now. They want to penalize the coaches and not the program or the school. I think that's a great way for the NCAA to go. But we are seeing, we heard Fran Fraschilla say it last week, Kansas on the floor this year, I think them delaying all this and fighting it as strong as they have has actually hurt them. Because the effect of all of this hanging over them for 3 years is clearly seen in the talent that they have on their team now. Okay, so they're not buying the players that they used to buy. They're just not. So we see that when we watch them play. We see that their talent level has dropped. They don't line up every game and have better players than the other guys. That's how you get rolled by Tennessee, 80-61. You go out and you have a bad night. I can't make some sort of a claim that Tennessee has way better players than Kansas, but on that night, they were a way better team. And we're kind of seeing that. We heard the comments at the start of the year from David McCormick and a couple of other leaders on the team that they were, you know, concerned about the T-shirts they were wearing, Black Lives Matter, some of the things that were going on, and that they made some comments in a video with Bill Self that we played for you right here on this podcast, where they said some things are bigger than basketball. And I immediately thought at the beginning of the year, whoa, that's not good. If you're a coach, you really don't like hearing that from your team leaders, that, hey, we're playing for something other than basketball or playing for Kansas. There's other more important things than this. Coaches don't like to hear that. That may be the case, and those kids may believe that, but they got to find themselves. I mean, they just weren't competitive against Tennessee. They get to play K-State Tuesday night. K-State's just awful. I mean, terrible basketball team. So we'll assume Kansas wins that one and wins it rather easily because they get the kiss on the cheek by playing K-State on Tuesday. Missouri wins in overtime against TCU in an absolute wild one, a crazy game. But the big story coming out of the weekend now is Gene Taylor, the AD at Kansas State, giving the vote of confidence, if you will, to Bruce Weber. 2 years ago, Bruce Weber won the Big 12 at K-State. And Gene Taylor said on Saturday night to the Manhattan Mercury that it is, quote, my intention, unquote, to have Bruce Weber back. Likes him, believes he's a good coach, thinks there's some pretty good young players there. This free fall for Kansas State, it's a bad look for Bruce Weber because he was Big 12 champion. They were lifting trophies and won a championship. He's won it twice. Bruce Weber's won the Big 12 twice at Kansas State. That's really good at Kansas State. That's really good. So Bruce Weber's resume there is good. Since winning that title in 2019, Bruce Weber is 4-23 in league play. That is astoundingly dreadful. Since winning the Big 12 2 years ago, Bruce Weber is now 4-23 in conference games. That is unexplainable. How do you go from being league champs, go recruit on that, bring players in, and not just 1 year. Like last year, they were bad. We're like, okay, he brought in a bunch of new players. Here we go. But this year, I think even worse. They fought back in the game on Saturday against an A&M team that isn't very good and had the lead with 3 minutes to go, and then they promptly blew that and got outscored like 11-3 to finish the game. I mean, they're just epically bad. It is only a $1 million buyout for Bruce Weber if they wait until May 1st. It only costs $1 million. So I don't think it's too much of a financial stretch for Kansas State to be able to go and change coaches if they want. My question would be, who's your coach? Does Brad Underwood want to leave Illinois and go to K-State? Maybe. I know him. I know his brother. I know their family. I know that I can state unequivocally, Brad Underwood's dream job is Kansas State. Always was, always is, always will be. Now, he's making a pile at Illinois. K-State probably wouldn't match the salary, but they might not have to. I'm just putting it out there. Would you rather have Brad Underwood than Bruce Weber? And would he take the job? Maybe if you're Gene Taylor, you're asking around and trying to find out maybe who would. And that has to enter into it. You know, so many of these times the AD will say, no, we're just going to judge this person, decide whether he's going to stay or not stay. No, because you know what Bruce Weber is. He's a commodity. He's a good coach. You better know you're not taking a chance on the next guy. You better know that the next guy coming in is a better coach for you, a better fit, and an improvement over what you have, or you don't make that move, in my opinion. KKHI is brought to you by Buck Roofing, Kansas City's finest residential and commercial roofing company. I put a picture out on Twitter Saturday evening. I had dinner with Ron Buck on the plaza. He is a good dude, and he likes him some seafood now. It was a good time. We had a good time with Ron. He's a really nice guy and has a great company, and I highly recommend them for all your roofing needs, whether it's a small repair or a whole new roof. They can do the job. In fact, we went into a restaurant on the plaza, and he says to the bartender there, we're sitting at the bar, he says, yeah, I put the roof on this place. He had just done the roof of that restaurant last week. He does a lot of buildings like the plaza. He did the Midland Theater roof. And, of course, he does homes all over the Kansas City area. They're online at rbuckroofing.com or call 384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park, online at joslynsjewelry.com. We're a couple of weeks away from Valentine's. Better get on this, guys. Joslyn's is the place to go. They got great gifts for under $100 there. Something that'll sparkle and make her smile, or you can go big. There's all kinds of big stuff you can get. But if you're just looking for a nice little Valentine's present, Joslyn's Jewelry is the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. And Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. The first appointment is free. If you mention the podcast, they feature Invisalign products. You're familiar with those. It's a great way to improve your smile without the intrusion and the feel and the look of having braces. So find out more. Log on to fryorthodontics.com or call 469-9191 to schedule that first free appointment at any of the 12 area locations of Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Dr. Fauci has flipped again. He is now saying there is no proof that multiple masks are better. How does Dr. Fauci still have a job that has anything to do with COVID-19? If you go back to the timeline a year ago, he said, no need to wear a mask. Then he said, wear a mask. Then he said, wearing a mask doesn't really help. Then he said, two masks, multiple masks. And now he says, there really is no proof that multiple masks do any better than one mask. We had some people at the CDC last week saying three masks is the way to go. This is all just insanity. And then I saw this story and I couldn't figure this one out. I'm not going to give you a lot of opinion on this, but I'll just read you the facts. I don't know how they count these things. I'm not an expert on the CDC, but last week they report flu cases in America by week. Okay, so the third week of January, we had 23 cases of the flu in the United States. 23. A year ago, the same week, we had 15,000 reported cases of the flu. So the CDC is telling us that 15,000 cases 1 year later was down to 23 cases. Some people are saying it's because everybody's wearing the mask. Nobody's getting the flu. Others are saying, oh, they're getting it. They're just calling it COVID. It's people that aren't getting tested. They're going to the doctor or whatever. And they're like, okay, it's COVID, go home. But it might actually be the flu and that they're counting them improperly. I don't know, but that's a stunning number. 330 million people, we had 23 cases of the flu the third week of January. It's amazing. It was the first thing I predicted when COVID started. I said, guess what's going to happen next year? We're going to have a lot fewer flu cases. People are going to wash their hands more. People are going to be masking. There's been a lot of people do a lot of things that are going to lead to less flu. When we start to calculate the, 75,000 deaths a year caused by the flu, and now nobody's getting the flu, there's some silver lining here with COVID, at least with the flu, right? There aren't as many flu deaths. So it's just bizarre to hear these people talk. And Fauci is at the top of my list because I don't know where he stands on any of this stuff now. I don't. And I don't know what you tell people. And at this time, there's hysteria taking place. New Zealand was the first. Canada now is the next. They've basically stopped travel in and out of their countries, in Canada and New Zealand, because they believe there's another strain of the virus that is more dangerous than the one we're all accustomed to. This one started maybe in Africa or something, and they don't like the strain. So we're going to cut down and shut down all travel. Just when we thought we were getting back to normal or getting closer to normal with the vaccines and everything else, we see countries like Canada and New Zealand completely locking down. Major League Baseball, as I mentioned earlier, is talking about starting, you know, April 28th, pushing the start of the season back a month, playing fewer games, jamming them closer together. That's up for grabs because they've got to negotiate with the players' union, whatever they do. I don't know why, other than these authorities in Arizona have said, we don't want spring training. We want you to push that back at least another month. That's what they want in Arizona. It just depends on who you are and what state we're talking about and who's in charge and what they want to do with COVID. In California, they're easing restrictions because Gavin Newsom, the governor, is about to be subjected to a recall election. And so he's backing off some stuff because he's so unpopular and millions of people are signing a petition to throw him out of office. So democracy does work in places. The lockdowns were stupid. Even the Chicago mayor is now telling the teachers in Chicago to go back to work. There is no reason for schools not to be open. Zero. We know the stats there now. You know, that's the problem I always had with follow the science was there was no science to follow yet. We didn't know. We had something new and we didn't know. Over the course of a few months, we found out what happens with COVID-19. It picks on old people and people with other diseases, comorbidities. We learned that pretty quickly. We also learned that kids don't really transmit it and it doesn't really affect kids. And schools should be open. And why the schools and stuff have been locked down like they have is beyond me. But I think we're starting to see at least that turn just a little bit. Oh, I'm so proud of our country. The Secretary of State, very important first week of business. I mean, you're Secretary of State. Forget that we've got a war breaking out in Burma. We're going to have to figure out. Forget that Biden's thrown troops into Syria again. We're going back into Obama's wars. You know, we got all this. We got to do the important stuff here in the first week. And our Secretary of State has announced that LGBTQ pride flags will now be flying at every United States embassy around the world. We're going to put those pride flags up at U.S. embassies in other countries. Now, I don't have a real beef. I'm not going to jump up and down and scream. I think it's silly. It's pandering. It's political. It's whatever. But it doesn't make me crazy mad that they're doing this. Isn't there something more important than this, though? I mean, it's the first week you're there. Isn't there something more important than this? And we saw the executive order about transgenders, and Marcellus Wiley, the former football player who's on Fox Sports, has been maybe the most outspoken person on this. He has three daughters, and his wife was a collegiate athlete. They all play sports. He played sports, and he is upside down upset that transgenders, biological males, can play against his girls in sports. And so he's now calling for a separate category. You know, boys sports, girls sports, men and women. This is high school age, boys and girls we call them. Boys and girls and transgender have their own category. Well, good luck. I don't know how you're going to field a team in a lot of these sports. I mean, you're not going to field a softball team or a baseball team with transgenders at a high school? No, you're not. So it would have to be an individual sport like golf or track or something like that, tennis, that you could participate, I guess, if there was another transgender student at another school. His heart's in the right place. He doesn't want this happening for his daughters. But I don't think that's the answer. A lot of the reaction that he got from people was, no, this is very simple. Biological males and biological females, period, compete in sports. And that's that. And I think that's right. I think that's the right answer. I think that's exactly the right answer. And what got lost in all of this, well, you know, every time you go try to help somebody that feels marginalized, you wind up hurting others. When Title IX came along, Title IX is the mandate of equality in education. It is not about sports. It's been applied to sports. There's nothing in the Title IX that says anything about sports. Most people know it as college sports, that there has to be an equal number of female scholarships to male scholarships at universities. So we know this. That's how Title IX played out. It was not written for sports. It is not about sports, but it's most applied or most talked about for women's scholarship and creating all those opportunities. When they created all those opportunities for women to have scholarships, what happened? Men lost scholarships. They closed wrestling programs, swimming programs. They cut back on men's sports. They cut back. There's literally people were just losing scholarships. Programs were locking down. I personally think footballs, if somebody challenged this in a court, I think football should be exempt. I don't think there is men's football. There's just football. Every other sport is men's and women's. Football's not like that. We saw a female kicker at Vanderbilt this year. If you're a female and you're good enough, you can play football. Period. You just got to be good enough. I think it should be exempted out and the scholarship should be equal outside of that. That's just me. I've felt that way for a long, long time. Marcellus Wiley is saying different transgender category, but lost in this, as was the case with Title IX. Okay, we got more opportunities for women, but look at these men that it hurt. It took something from them. So in order to go out, if women athletes felt marginalized, we apply Title IX, we get you more scholarships, but at what cost? It costs the men. Transgenders want to compete in sports. Joe Biden has signed an executive order. Here they come. Biological males are competing as females. But wait a second. Whatever happened to defending women's rights? I thought it was a very liberal, but I'm on board with it, a very liberal thing. We got to protect women's rights at all costs, about everything. We got to protect women. Except when it's the case of a transgender, we'll just trample all over women. You're going to make an exception for one marginalized group over another? I don't even understand this policy. I don't get it. Every child that's born is assigned a sex, a biological sex at birth. Done. That's how you compete in sports in the United States. That's it. It's pretty simple. I think I'm defending women here. I don't know very many female athletes that want males, transgenders, competing in their sports. I don't know anybody that wants that. And I think it's a bad idea, and I think it's typical Joe Biden and typical Democrat. And while they're doing it, there's always hypocrisy in everything that they do. While they're doing it, they're trampling women's opportunities to compete at the highest level, potentially scholarship opportunities. But certainly we saw track star in New Hampshire, right? A biological male, transgender, won the state championship in like the high hurdles or something. A transgender. It's not right. It's not fair. And there were girls that were working very hard their entire life to try to win a state championship, and it got taken away from them. This is just bad policy. This is really bad, and I think it's going to be a big topic in sports over the next few years as we see this play out. But boy, I'm happy. We got the flags flying at all of the embassies. Secretary of State got right on it. We got the pride flags up at every embassy all over the world, because that's really important, you know. That's really important. All right, we're going to double up on Monday. Kevin Harlan, I've got scheduled for a little bit later in the day, so we'll have a second podcast up on Monday. Kevin Harlan on the Super Bowl and much more content on this big Super Bowl week at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.